All right. And podcast audio recording and YouTube live right on gosh darn there. Let's see how things are sounding. Outstanding. What? Where's my favorite one? One of my new favorites.
You're very beautiful.
I know.
Why do you smell so good?
Because I don't use deodorant and I only take bubble baths.
That's right. Don't use deodorant and only take bubble baths. This here program, somebody could be tuning in for the first time. And it's going to be a bit of a free thought conversation type episode on a Tuesday. And yes, it is Tuesday morning, but it's not morning wine cellar. But it's also not late enough to be regular wine cellar. So this is a unique episode here. But trigger warning, I'll keep it short.
This show is fucked up.
Yes, this show is indeed fucked up. And because of the way the wiring is coming in, those audio drops from the soundboard might not be coming in on your end, Maddie Stump.
They are.
Oh, they are. Oh, that's outstanding. That's good. So you.
I hope you're sure happy it's Tuesday in the wine cellar.
All right, we are sure happy it's Tuesday. Folks that have been tuning into the program have heard me say the name.
Just give me that bottle.
Heard me say the name, heard me read quotes and whatnot from an individual, Maddie Stump. And I looked back because I interact with this individual on the Facebooks lightly. We don't interact a great deal. And why can't I blow the screen up? Whatever, Skype. Okay, and we interact lightly on the Facebooks. Not a great deal, right? We're not constantly in each other's comment sections. We're not constantly sharing and posting. And for me, it's deliberate on my end because we agree too much. That gets boring fast. It's just like, hey, what you said yesterday was just as awesome as what you said last week. Bet it's awesome tomorrow. Like, I already get it, you know, so... I do that purposely. There's other heads like Junior Birchall and folks like that. I don't interact with Cleopatra or Jones a lot because we're already there on everything. Echo chamber solidified. We got it. Let's go tackle some other monsters. And so, but now this here is Maddie Stump on the program, live in the Martha Fracken Wine Cellar. And yeah, we could maybe start off somewhere. And there's that deal where, now, it seems like some Mike Pence type shit, but it's kind of Republicans in general, where they're trying to just erase trans folks, like, definitionally. You've heard about that?
Yeah, I have.
Yeah, what's going on? Yeah, lace us up.
It's pretty crazy, for sure.
Do you remember what it said in the I don't think it's a bill, it's not legislation, it's like an idea they're pushing right now, right?
Yeah, it's a memo that the Trump administration put out, or that was reported on by the New York Times, that was by the Trump administration about removing particularly from like Title IX legislation, any mention of trans people. And like the word transgender has now been like taken down from a bunch of like governmental sites as well.
And what we recently dug into a little bit, it was out in the, I always say the Caroliners because I forget if it's north or south the news is coming from. They're both bad. But like young folks out there that were getting hormones are now getting denied hormones. Did you catch that news?
Yeah, that's happening in quite a few places.
Okay, I'm missing a lot of that. I am indeed. Now, something else, like, so I wanted to do a whole lot of just sort of give you the floor here to riff, because you type a lot. Short posts, long posts, you put a lot of posts out there. So the floor is yours for the most part, unless you want me to sort of segue somewhere else. And a big part of it, like why I'd rather have you on here, a trans woman, is because I'm basic. And who knows, because like people that tune into the program, this may be one of few programs they tune into. So maybe they might be basic as well. Like I'm just on the, hey, stop killing these niggas. Like I'm pretty much just running that. But other than that, like, but you have like some academics going on. Like, yeah, like feel free to riff, like just gun it in.
Yeah, well, I guess the first thing I'd say is it's interesting how frequently I hear, like, any discussion of trans topics as, like, an academic thing, because, like, I've been going to university for 4 years now, and not once has anyone said the word, like, transmisogyny in any of my classes, and, like, most of the time we have, like, half an hour discussion in, like, a semester, and that's it in terms of trans folks. So, like, there's not really much discussion actually in academia that's happening around trans people. I just find it fascinating.
Yeah, so the language is missing, but like, beyond like what, like say you're setting up, I believe the term is curriculum, like you're setting it up. What would you put in there that needs to be in there?
That's a good question. But there'd probably have to be like some foundation of like the history of the trans rights movement in the U.S. In addition to like a segment on like indigenous, like Two-Spirit and other, you know, trans folks, various different, what's commonly called like third gender communities, like throughout the world, there would need to be like a section on like black and indigenous women, black and indigenous trans women in the U.S., since they experience some of the highest rates of violence, and kind of talking about why that intersection between anti-blackness, trans misogyny, and settler colonialism is so important to talk about. So yeah, those would be some of the topics, I guess.
And thinking about like, okay, so like black trans women being murdered, and because proximity, of course, gonna be cis black men doing a whole lot of that. I mean, of course, there's ones where like there's one I read where it was in out here in Illinois, and it was two black trans women, and they had a personal beef, and one shot the other one. So that you know, that wasn't a cis man perpetrating that one. And because I follow other cats, you know, I love black radio. I listen to a lot of black radio. And this cat that I've been following since 2011, Scotty Reed of the Black Talk Radio Network, one of the stories was really gaining some traction about 18 months ago or so. And he made a post saying like, oh, well, you know, after they performed the act and then he found out, you don't know what's going through that young man's head. And I'm thinking like, well, shorthand, real easy, he's thinking, I'm gonna murder somebody now because I can get away with this one because this person doesn't matter. But, you know, I can expand it, take it a little longer. It's like his own, there's the transphobia. I think there's a homophobia there too. Like, homophobia pointed at oneself, and it's socialized because the homophobia is, what if other people think I'm gay?
Yeah.
Deal. Right? Like, have you thought about that? Wrote about that at all?
Oh, definitely. I mean, yeah, that's super common. In terms of, like, for instance, there's the trans panic defense and the gay panic defense. I think the gay panic defense is still legal in, like, over half the states, and the trans panic defense is legal in, like, 46, 47 states. Where if someone murders a gay or trans person and like wants to get off on a lighter sentence, or sometimes even just get away with it, they can make the gay panic defense or the trans panic defense, and say that they were so surprised or confused by having slept with a trans person or a gay person that they like lost their mind and accidentally killed them, essentially.
It's like I get to lie my ass off loophole.
Yep. It's still used. Like, it's still on the books in a lot of places, and it's still used like every couple of years.
That is some high-powered bullshit.
It's wild.
Wait, are there any in particular, like any specific stories you could lay out, like you sort of give like a concrete context for folks tuned in?
Certainly. So the one I kind of found out about the law through was, let's see, Gwen Arajo, I think, a Puerto Rican trans woman from a couple years ago. Let's see. Next, I think she was murdered in, Let's see. Oh, she. Oh, wow. It's been a while. So she was murdered in 2002 by a U.S. Military personnel, and the guy got a lesser sentence because he used the transpanic defense. Yeah. So he murdered this woman who he was sleeping with, and I think had like some kind of relationship with, and then went to court and used this defense and actually got a lesser sentence.
Jeez, lesser on the at the information that you have in front of you, do they show the numbers, like what it was and what it was reduced to?
That's a good question. Let me take a look. Yeah, this woman was, let's see, about 17 years old.
Oh, a baby.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, the average life expectancy of Black trans women, for example, is 35 years, which is just wild to think about.
Yeah, like, I'm just now 35 several weeks ago. You know, and I'm not looking forward to, because climate change and whatnot's coming, but I can like sit there and legitimately make plans up until I expect about 54. It's like when I was 12, that was the average death of cis Black men, 54. But I can still be like, hey, what's going on with the next two decades?
Right.
You know. Wow.
Yeah. Damn. So it looks like he was sentenced to he pleaded guilty on in 2003 to a lesser charge of voluntary manslaughter, which carried an 11-year prison sentence. Doesn't say what his original amount was. He was. I received the 11 years in August. Oh, so that's why it seems more recent. He didn't receive the sentence until August 25th, 2006. So it's a little bit closer than what I thought.
In 2006. So he's out, right? He's probably out. He's probably out and having a good time eating cheeseburgers right now.
Yeah, he very well might be.
Yeah, while the baby's dead, he's out eating cheeseburgers with a goddamn MAGA hat on. I'm turning him into a fictional character, but he's just fucking, he's out there.
Yep.
Yeah. Jesus. God damn it, Christ. Now, I don't really know much about what's going on with white people other than, like, news stories. But, like, mm-hmm. but I see Black, transmisogynoir. A lot. Seen it in the neighborhood I lived in when I was 12 to 17 years old. Read it in the stories. You know, I follow Black trans women. Chella, Fox Giselle, very public figure. You know, I follow these folks, see what they're talking about. A lot of Black trans women with the Tea Time Network. I pretty much watched every single episode of Tea Time. And who's the homie out in California liberal type cat, Cat Black.
Phoenix. I forgot she's in California now. Yeah.
Yeah. Phoenix Kalita poked her head out the door. All right, Phoenix Kalita. You say hello to Maddie Stump.
Hey, Maddie.
Hello.
All right, and Phoenix Kalita's taking one of the debit cards to work with her for the last day. And that's way off topic. Oh, in the pants pockets. Yeah, pants I had on. All right, yeah. This is how we live broadcast. Very professional. And, in white communities, like, I don't know how informed you are on the Black communities with transmisogyny, transmisogynoir, but, like, in white, is it the same?
No, it's definitely different. I've looked at statistics of, like, the experiences of various different forms of like violence and suicidality and drug and alcohol tendencies, and like it's definitely more intense for particularly like American Indian and Black trans women than it is for like white trans folks.
Yeah.
So a lot of what I do is trying to talk with other white folks. Especially I talk a lot with like trans men, white trans men and white trans masculine people about ways to like materially support trans folks of color.
Hmm. Yeah, well, and something else you've riffed about, not verbally, but I get up in the morning and read your post. And you've talked about what it's like to be passing, and to like be able to be in cis spaces.
Mm-hmm.
Like what? Like was that like a long time coming? Like or like is it, or like as a long time coming? Is it like this sort of slow slope and then fast up jump? Like how does that go?
It's very strange, to be honest, because I'm like I'm very out as a trans woman, but I also pass pretty well most of the time. So it's it gets there's a degree of dissonance when I go into like spaces that are like completely like white cishet women, for example, where there's just this complete difference of understanding, I guess, of what it means to be a woman, because of our like very different experiences of being women. So that can sometimes cause a weird sense of disconnect between myself and other white cis women.
Well, like the experiences, like I'll just be straight up. Like, are you scared at times when you step into spaces?
Oh,
yeah, like physical violence might come your way.
Oh yeah, because there's like a huge history of like white cis women using their like cis privilege to like make spaces unsafe for trans women. Like I've gone to a lot of like I identify as a trans woman in addition to being a lesbian. So I, every now and again I'll go to like cis white queer women's spaces. And they're just like they're very like everything that comes out of their mouth is very deeply connected to their being cis and understanding being a queer woman as only something that cis people or assigned female at birth people can experience. So it just makes being in these spaces very like physically uncomfortable.
And then like, I look at like, all right. So like, you're right there, right? There's Maddie Stump. And I'm thinking like, you go ahead and put yourself in anywhere earth, walking down the street. And as you're walking down the street, there's a group of 3 to 5 assumed cis men. You're probably just as logically scared as a cis woman is that these motherfuckers are going to be on some shit. Or
I'd be scared in a different way.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, yeah, cis men, oh, yeah, they can be definitely very terrifying, for sure.
Yeah, and it's like they don't have to be the damn, you know, some sort of white supremacist stereotype of the thugs out there. A fucker in a suit, now I'm riffing more for the audience, right? Like some fucker in a damn suit, the fucking good, I mean, what the fuck was a damn Brett Kavanaugh? That's the good guy. Who was the fucker that was a swimmer with his high school? We cover
Brock Turner.
Yeah, fucking Brock Turner. And that's why when I put up my Brock Turner memes, I found the picture of him in a suit. You know? Jesus Christ. The hell is a rapist look like? A rapist looks like a person.
Yeah, it was interesting. I made, because a lot, like with the Me Too and the whatever the Time's Up and the Brett Kavanaugh stuff, with like larger discussions of sexual violence in the U.S., I've like made comments about how like if you know these very privileged women, these like white cis able-bodied heterosexual women, like can't get their stories listened to of sexual violence, what the fuck are the rest of us gonna do? Like what hope do the rest of us have of like having our stories heard and legitimized as like experiences of sexual violence?
None. Yeah. To answer a rhetorical question, there's no chance except from these tiny little outlets that have 79 subscribers, I think now.
Yeah.
Like a whole 79 people are gonna hear the story. Well, that's on the YouTubes. But like, yeah, who's gonna check it out? Who's gonna give a damn? You know, and then also when? Like, are we actually that progressive? I don't think so, because incrementalism is too incremental, right? You got one side over here that wants to take huge fucking leaps. They're like, yo, they're defining mother, trying to define motherfuckers out of existence, while people on my side, us on our little so-called left, are like, nah, just vote and hope.
Yeah.
I guess real world action is really all you got. Like, you know, I'm probably a little less ignorant than I was some years ago. And I remember back in 2008, early 2008, when I was in management, and I had to fire a staff member. Mm-hmm. It was like, this nigga just made a straight up murder threat, just on the casual. And why did they feel so comfortable saying that? Because the threat was against a trans woman that just got hired by another person in management. And is a cis woman from Puerto Rico. And the trans woman was also from Puerto Rico, because we were in Florida. And so they were both from Puerto Rico. And she just said straight up, like she's just saying some normal shit, but I guess it is normal. Just said, if I see it in the bathroom, I'll kill it.
So I hear random stuff like that happen all the time. A lot of it, I mean, I get it a lot myself, even just like walking around, and I'll hear like people whisper under their breaths, or like I'll pass people and they'll just like turn around and stare at me, or I'll be on the bus and I hear people like whispering beneath their breath. Yeah.
Oh damn, you have to use public transpo.
Mm-hmm.
No shit. Jesus Christ. Yeah, I'm just then now I'm not even the one in danger, but now I'm scared. Yeah. God damn it.
Yeah, I'm actually a week from yesterday starting up a group in the local area for trans women to kind of come together and build community. Because, there's a sizable number of trans women in the area, but because, like, women's spaces don't accept us, trans spaces don't accept us, queer spaces don't accept us, a lot of us are just kind of off on our own. And I also made sure that it was off of the campus that I'm on, because so many trans women either go to college and then have to drop out because of all the shit they have to deal with, or they don't go to college in the first place. So that's one thing I really wanted to make sure, is that it was not kind of re-traumatizing for folks who went through academia and didn't make it to graduation.
Jesus Christ. And not making it to graduation, that pretty much means, therefore, now you don't have the credentials, and now you have to, come work a blue-collar job next to William.
Yeah.
Yeah, Jesus Christ.
Which, there's nothing wrong with that, but, we should have more, I shouldn't be one of, two trans women I still know who, have a chance of graduating at this university. And the place I'm at now is, nationally known as, one of the most trans-friendly, LGBT-friendly campuses. What the fuck's that say for the rest of the places, then?
And I just, you may have heard some background sound. I had to restart the YouTube video because the battery got low, and then it said invalid video. I'm still figuring out the YouTubes. I'm a Facebook liver. Yeah. All right. Okay. So, Jesus Christ. So now you have this group up and running. You said you just started it. Well, you're getting it started up now?
Yeah. Yeah. It starts in, the first meeting will be in 6 days. It'll be a twice a month meeting. So it'll be cool.
Do you have long-term ideas for the group?
One thing I'd love to do, if we can get, I think what I would love to do for a month by month basis is just have various different discussion topics kind of already set up for folks to be able to kind of talk to one another and break the ice a little bit about. But long term, I'd love to move it into a more political group if I can, even if that just means having fundraisers every now and again that we can send to various different organizations run by trans women. That could be a great start. Or if it means, for instance, I'm currently in Massachusetts, and we have the Yes on Three campaign, which is advocating that people vote yes on the third issue to maintain the rights that trans people have in Massachusetts, as opposed to them being revoked, which enough people got signed to make into a something we're now voting on.
All right. And here comes the tangent. And you said fundraise for organizations and whatnot that are run by trans women? Like, you know, any off the top of your head?
Well, some of the really good ones are there's like Casa Ruby, which I think is in California. There's the Trans Women of Color Collective, which I think is based in D.C. And what is the other one? I can probably look up a good list here, but those are some of my favorites. They do a lot of good work.
Yeah, you can always
the trans Latino or Latin. How do they spell it? I think it's Latina/O Coalition. That's another good one.
Huh. Yeah, you can always and feel free to take time to dig up stuff. We do that on the program all the time. Yeah, like we'll always, and then we'll just buffer the time with going doot 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 while we dig something up. We do that all the time. You know, I see other live broadcasters that will literally just have dead air while they look for something.
Nice.
Yeah.
But yeah, I just brought up an article that I thought was pretty good. It's by out.com. It has it's titled Hell No to the Memo, Seven Action Items. To protect trans and gender non-conforming people. So it's got like a bunch of organizations there. That's what I was looking for, that are led by trans folks. Because the problem is a lot of the larger LGBT organizations are led by like rich, white, cis, queer folks and like do fuck all for trans people, much less like trans women of color specifically or trans people of color specifically. So that's what I try to focus on is, because for a couple different organizations, I have like monthly donation things that I do for. It's like, it's not enough. It's not a ton, but it's something at least. What are the organizations? There's bailout funds is also important because there's a lot of trans folks who, especially like Black trans folks, as would be expected, unfortunately, that are in jail. And very often, what happens with trans folks who go to jail or go to a prison is they end up being housed in the gendered part of that prison based on their sex assigned at birth. Yeah, so that's how a lot of people end up, especially like a lot of trans women end up experiencing like sexual violence and like physical violence, a lot of different things like that. But yeah, some good organizations are the Sylvia Rivera Law Project, the Audre Lorde Project, Casa Ruby, as I mentioned, Fierce, which I don't think I've heard of. That's an interesting one. Trans Lifeline, Familia, that's another good one. Familia, Trans Queer Liberation Movement, and Southerners on New Ground, which I haven't heard of that one. But yeah, so a couple good ones. Ooh, Organización Latina de Trans en Texas. So that's another cool one. Yeah, so there's a bunch of organizations out there that are like led by trans folks for trans folks.
Yeah, and they're just getting. I don't know exactly what they're doing, but they're doing something, right?
Yeah.
So they're out there.
Yeah, active. A lot of them focus on. Like, I know the Casa Ruby focuses on, like, redistributing resources to, like, particularly, like, Black and Latinx or Latine trans folks. And they work with, like, trans folks experiencing immigration. And what is the other thing they do? I think they deal with, like, homeless trans folks as well. Because, like, even in this, like, very rich white area, I know of four different trans women who are currently homeless. Just because of everything that trans misogyny is. And like, I don't know a single trans guy who's homeless. So it's just, it's interesting. I try to do what I can, but yeah.
Yeah. Let's not let that be a throwaway line. You say you don't know a single trans guy who's homeless. Mm-hmm. I'm going to throw my ignorant assumption out there. If you're red as cis male, And like you got your paperwork and whatnot, you know, so you're showing up and other males see you as cis male, probably easier to get a job, keep the job, walk up to a place, apply, say, hey, Here's my check stubs. I qualify for this. I get to live here. I assume it's probably easier. And maybe And maybe it's easier to be read as male. Like, that's my assumption. Like, you get some facial hair, you cut your hair. Hell, male privilege goes down to just how basic we look. Like, look, we don't put on makeup. I'm behind the giant popper stopper microphone, but I got razor bumps and ingrown hairs, keloid scars, and receding hairline. I cut my hair myself with my clippers. It is so basic to be male. I don't even have to pay for haircuts. I go in the bathroom and go, oh yeah, I'm presentable for the public today. Right? Like, while you came on, what, you probably did your hairstyle? You maybe put on a deal hair? You know, put on the whole business. Phoenix Kaleeter, you know, she puts on a, I don't even know what it's, I know it's makeup, but I don't know what all that stuff is. I don't do any of that. I put on lotion. Like, that's moisturizer. That's the most that's going on. Other than that, cis men, and I assume after you transition, trans men, they don't really got to do much.
Yeah, it's pretty true.
Yeah, our clothes don't even have to be clean. That's real. That's real deal right there. So I think, like, culturally, right? Like, moving culture forward, because you can't incrementalize yourself into justice. You can't incrementalize yourself into fairness, especially when you have a whole other side and plenty of people so-called on your side that are ready to smash on you. An example of the so-called people on your side, the 12 Democrats in the Carolinas that in the state house voted for the bathroom bill. You know, like, so all the people that are so-called on your side plus the other side. So, like, you know, what, cis folks like me. You know, like, if you know somebody's trans, if they're out or, well, like, not passing, and you know, that's the homie. Bring them in. Bring them in. Out barbecuing on the front porch. Nigga, come get a piece of chicken, cuz. Come on. You know, and I try, and yeah. I keep it casual like that. You know, I guess this is my advice I'm throwing out to other cis folks. Feel free to add on or correct me. But don't go too hard, right? Like if you're cis and you want to try to befriend and let, you know, some trans niggas know that, hey, you can come chill with me. Safe space over here. Don't go too, don't run up hugging niggas. You know. You're gonna be scary too now. Like, what's your deal? Don't shake hands too hard. Yeah, right?
Yeah, there's definitely a point where you can go too far. Like, I remember when I first came out, I did it, like, very publicly. And I, all of a sudden, I got, like, four or five different girls in my grade got me, like, giant expensive makeup kits. And, like, at the time, I didn't even wear, like, a lot of, if any, makeup. And, like, even to this day, like, most of what I have is just from the drugstore. So, like, it's not, like, I don't use, like, high, what is the term? Like, high-end makeup products. But they felt this, like, weird need to kind of, like, over exert themselves in, like, buying me these, like, exorbitant things to prove that they were allies or what have you, when, like, I would have been fine just, like, you know, them treating me like any other girl or woman, but they had to treat me as, like, a spectacle, kind of.
Yeah, like, just normal human interaction, you know, like, If you talk like Maddie Stump, I assume you say, "How do you do, mate?" or however you talk, you know. But like if you talk like me, hey, what's happening, cuz? You know, or like I remember a young lad, a cis gay male, little skinny feller, probably like 19, 20 years old, maybe 21, and you know, now for me, socially, tactically, first thing I do is keep it casual. Like I said, hey, how you doing? Because this was a new cat in the workplace at my last job. And it's just like, hey, how you doing? This is what's going on here. You know, office is back here. I do inventory over here. I got my clipboards. You need a pen? I keep extra pens. That's how I get down. you know, and let homie get comfortable with me to the point of where cuz is showing up, slapping my hand. What's going on? Ready to do this shift? Yeah. Now we're comfortable. Now it's time for even more casual human interaction because we black and you just came up in here with some karate shoes on. I have to clown now. Yeah, and once you're in, like, now you're befriending. Now culture's moving forward, because then now other hetero niggas, you know, because I function in a pretty alpha way, even with my high-pitched voice. So now other niggas is like, I guess that's how we're getting down, you know, and then folks have offspring, teach them that, move it up. Now you have another generation coming up, and then next thing you know, everybody's chilling. I'd like it to be like that. I have my doubts.
That's pretty cool. Yeah, that's fair.
Yeah, no, like, you have any ideas like that? I'm supposed to give you the floor, and I'm just riffing.
Like, in terms of what exactly?
Moving culture forward.
Well, I think, because one of the things that I'll mention every now and again is that, like, there's a sizable number of, like, trans representation. The problem is most of it isn't good. Like, most of it's based entirely on, like, stereotypes of what trans people are. So one good thing, one thing to kind of start moving the culture forward would be to, like, hire more trans folks as actors, hire more trans folks, like, behind the scenes to, like, make just, like, well, for one thing, to, like, give trans folks a job, because a lot of trans folks can't get employment. But also to, like, hire trans folks to, like, make media that that they would enjoy, that represents their experiences. Yeah, because I follow a lot of, I listen to a lot of podcasts, and I read a lot of comic books, because that's primarily the one location, because the bar is so low to get into those two forms of media that pretty much anyone can make a podcast or a comic book, given, you know, enough time and maybe a little bit of resources. That, like, there's a lot of, like, trans, queer, disabled folks of color making podcasts and comics and, like, really good stuff. But, like, Pose is a good example. The TV show Pose came out earlier on, I think it was over the summer, and had, like, I think it was, like, an entire cast, maybe, like, one or two cis people, like, almost an entire cast of trans people talking about, like, the history of trans existence in the U.S. So it's talking a lot about, like, ballroom culture, which is, like, primarily trans folks of color just coming together and having a good time. Just kind of getting to show off for one another and have fun. So that's a really, really good example of, like, trans folks behind the scenes and in front of the screen. So, yeah, that would be my primary, or one of my first things is, like, more and better representation, so that people, like, aren't basing their entire knowledge of trans people off of these, like, outdated stereotypes because they don't know any trans people in real life. Yeah, so that's one thing I'd say.
Representation. And I was going to try to tangent there, to sort of, you know, casually segue there, was to that program Pose. Like, did you watch that whole first season?
Yeah, it's intense at parts, but it's really, really good media, for sure. I enjoyed it.
Okay, because I was thinking, like, you know, because, you know, I'm a cis motherfucker over here. I don't know. But, like, I'm looking at it, and I'm thinking, like, this show is really fucking smart. Like, that's the word that kept coming into my head. Like, this is a smart goddamn show. Like, and it's really not corny. You know, like, all the lines are delivered smooth. Everything seems natural. Like, I'm buying these characters. You know, like, do you have, like, review it off the top of your head. Your review of Pose.
Sure. So, I was looking up who, like, is behind the creation of Pose. Oh, that's interesting. I thought it was, maybe it's the someone else. But, like, okay, so Pose is, it's set in the, like, mid-80s, and it talks a lot about, like, African-American and Latino, or Latina ball culture, in the downtown of New York City, I think. And like it deals a lot with like homelessness. It deals a bit with like drug and alcohol consumption in like trans communities of color. It deals with a lot of like it deals very smartly, as you mentioned, with a lot of topics in like trans communities of color especially. And like I also like how it deals with like kind of the how frequent trans sex workers, how sex trans people as sex workers, how frequently that is, in addition to like talking about like homelessness. And yeah, so it's very, very cool. It's a very good show. I highly recommend people watch it. And they're actually coming out with a second semester next year, so that's definitely to keep an eye out for.
Yeah, you hear, I hope folks tuned in heard that, people playing the archive. That's how on the campus Maddie Stump is. Homie just said it's going to have a second semester.
Oh my god. Oh my gosh, yeah, my bad. Second season.
And it's all right. I've named the wrong politician and then just went on and finished the episode. And then I got to go make a post on Facebook. Oh, my bad. Made an error there. And, you know, it's out there now. Like, it's got the people already downloaded it. It's gone. Like, that error is just out there.
Yeah.
All right. So, like, because I'm looking at the program pose, right? And, of course, I'm thinking this is a smart show. This is very not corny. This is fresh. But also, I'm looking at it because, like you said, it's early to mid-80s. And and something that I've been saying ever since I started looking at probably the far more problematic, if you will, RuPaul's Drag Race. And looking at that, but then also watching this an old documentary, not new at all, a documentary called Paris is Burning. And I'm looking at it, and I'm like, this is gay safe space hip hop. I'm looking at the way they're dancing and pausing and like posing, and then like they're doing a death drop, and I'm like, oh, that's a suicide. But like in obviously everywhere cis friendly spaces where folks are breaking, that's the exact, I know that move, you know. I'm seeing they're doing ground moves. I'm like, I know that move. And then when they get up,
that's
there,
where a lot of this dance came from.
What?
That's where a lot of those like dance, like for instance, voguing, it kind of became popular with some white artists. But like it started in like Black and Latino trans and queer communities.
Yeah, and voguing, that's fem pop locking. It's feminine pop locking. Like you're doing the same thing. Like those niggas over there, they're hip hop just like we're hip hop. And it came from the same place over there in the East Coast, the Bronx, Brooklyn, Harlem, out there in the East Coast. They were doing the exact same thing, but in a trans and gay friendly space. And also, when they're reading each other, that's a battle. Like, that's a, yeah. So I dig that. But then also, I'm seeing some of where I think my biological father was a little bit in his younger times. Because I graduated from the foster care system. And I didn't finish out my growing up years with biological parents. And my biological father got AIDS. And just with the luck of the draw super genes, he just became a carrier. Like the last time I looked for that nigga, it was like 2016 and he was still alive. Had just got a new apartment somewhere in Parkland in Washington State. So, like, he's just a fucking carrier. But my biological mother, of course, he was closeted, and he brought it home to her, and she died from it. October 15th, 1993, about 9 p.m. West Coast time. Right? So, like, I'm looking back at that, and I'm like, because they're from New Jersey, you know, so New York, that's just a little skip away. So I'm like, he may have been kicking it on this scene sometimes. You know? So, like, that's ill. And, like, so he was... Possibly, he was on that scene back in those early days of hip hop being formed, but in the, in those safer spaces. While later on, here we go in the 90s, now I'm in my scene running around battling and whatnot. So I think that's interesting. Like, so that program brings like a cultural connection to my biological father.
Nice. Yeah. That's really cool.
Yeah, very interesting. Very fresh. All right. I think, is there anything we're missing here on the way out? Like anything you want to add in? Organizations, ideas, thoughts?
Yeah. There was one thing I missed earlier that... One thing that's kind of that's missing a lot from the discussion currently of the Trump memo on like trans folks is that it also impacted like intersex people as well, because they're defining gender and sex as only chromosomally. So if you want to like if a trans person wants to like change their documents, their like legal documents, then or if they are kind of what would be the term if they're in court for any reason that is like related to their gender, then it will be determined their sex and gender like markers will be determined solely by a chromosomal test. So because a lot of intersex folks have various different sexes and genders, there's a huge problem of like
Your Skype froze. Did I lose you? Your Skype is frozen on my end. What happened?
How intersex people are going to be affected by this?
Hold on,
because
Maddie.
I mean, intersex people are already undergoing like gendering. Sorry.
Maddie, the Skype froze for about 15 seconds. Can you repeat anything you said in the past, like, 15 to 25 seconds? We lost it on the Skype freezing. You were just... but right before it froze... testing? Do you got me? Are we still here?
Oh, there we go. Yep, I got you back now.
Okay. Yeah, the Skype froze, and I lost your audio right around when you were saying... intersex folks have more chromosome action going on there.
Yeah, so sex is like what your physical sex is made up of like six different characteristics, five or six. It's like chromosomes, hormone levels, genitalia, secondary sex characteristics, which is like facial hair and breast growth. I think that's it. So, like, folks who are intersex, not all of those characteristics uniquely or specifically align as male or female. They might have, like, some of one group and some of another group. They might have all of one group and just missing one or two in some way. So, one thing that's, like, missing a lot from this conversation of the Trump memo is that intersex folks are also going to be very significantly impacted by any changes that are made to legislation based on what this memo is talking about. Yeah, so that's worth noting as well.
Okay, good. Yeah, I was afraid, like, because you wanted to say that, and then the Skype almost died. All right, so we got that in there. All right, good. And then, you're developing an organization. You pointed that out earlier, and you've got some ideas for that to become political meetings twice a month. Yeah, so you're going to be getting active there. Mm-hmm. So, good. So you're going to get your face and voice out there, saying words about things and helping folks.
Yeah.
All right. Because I
see it,
like, yeah. Yeah, because if you're not there, then it's like, well, I need to bring you on the wine cellar as often as you have time. You know, and get the face and voice out there, because you articulate it well. Like, I mean, you may have heard the program. I riff and rant and say, stop hurting people. But like, you know, like you're coming in and you have real ideas and real knowledge that I just don't have. Yeah, that's good.
It's mostly just a lot of listening to people.
Yeah. All right. Yeah, thank you for coming on the program. And bringing
yeah,
that
certainly.
Knowledge. All right. And well, you got to get back to class. It looks like there's a blackboard behind you.
Yeah. I found a classroom because my laptop was almost dead. So that was not going to work.
All right. So please be as safe as possible wherever you are. And come on back to the wine cellar. We got open microphones.
Sounds good.
All right. Peace.
Thanks. Thank you very much.
Ooh, all right, so there goes Skype. And I'm going to click off the YouTube. That went wrong several times, old YouTube there. All right, YouTube's off. And podcast audio, we are out of there. Have a good one. But paypal.me/PhoenixAndWilliam, patreon.com/WineCellarMediaFund. So we got the morning wine cellar up. Go ahead and get this one up. And we'll see when Phoenix Cleater gets back, see if we'll go ahead and do another one. Hell, what, 3 episodes in one day? Fuck it. October 30th, 2018.